The late 1960s threw Catherine McClure into a perfect storm of personal and political upheaval. FBI agents at her door revealed a shocking truth. Her political activism had entangled her with individuals involved in drugs and murder. How could she have been so blind? The causes that once seemed righteous now appeared tainted by violence. With her worldview shattered, Catherine fled to Oxford University, an opportunity previously declined in favor of what she now recognized as misguided activism. What does one pack when fleeing one life for another? Each item placed in her suitcase represented a choice about who she wanted to become. The voyage across the Atlantic carried more than just physical transition. It was an internal migration from naivete to wisdom. As the English coastline appeared on the horizon, Catherine stood at the threshold of transformation, her past self receding with the American shoreline. Isn't it remarkable how we often find our true direction only after losing our way? Oxford's ancient halls promised intellectual rigor and a fresh start, but could stone walls really provide shelter from the storms of her past? The academic haven awaited, but Catherine would soon discover that changing locations doesn't automatically change who we are. It simply provides new contexts in which to discover ourselves. Trinity College immersed Catherine in tradition immediately, its ancient rooms chill, embodying Oxford's formal atmosphere. Her scout, Reggie, proudly recounted their centuries of scholarly history. Oxford required mastering new social codes, from class-revealing accents to the sight of students in academic gowns crossing quadrangles like ravens. The medieval setting both intimidated and enchanted, creating a complex sense of belonging. The university's peculiarities, high-table dinners, arcane rules, and formal interactions demanded careful navigation. Catherine found comfort in bookshops, where old paper and leather bindings reminded her of home. Her outsider status crystallized when she crashed through a post office window by bicycle, met with characteristically understated English wit from onlookers. Bit of a hurry to post a letter, were you? Learning to decode English communication proved subtle. Seemingly casual remarks often concealed criticism, while praise came carefully understated. In Oxford dons, "That's rather interesting," might actually mean, "That's completely wrong." Spring transformed Oxford into a paradise of blossoms during rowing season. Catherine unexpectedly became coxswain for Clive's team in the Torpids, Oxford's peculiar races where boats chase and bump each other on the river. With minimal training, she embraced the role, her American directness as coxswain cutting through English reserve with surprising effectiveness. A heated dinner argument about English social hierarchy and the treatment of Marcus, a scholarship student, sparked change. Catherine's American beliefs and merit clashed with British class attitudes, leading her to storm out in frustration. She impulsively left for Wales, with Clive joining unexpectedly. Their journey through Snowdonia became both literal and symbolic exploration. Nights spent in a Welsh barn revealed nature's quiet beauty, with misty valleys and sheep creating a sense of wonder beyond organized religion. Their climb up Mount Tryphan revealed their different approaches to life, Clive's careful affection contrasting with Catherine's determined summit pursuit. Their moonlit descent, though terrifying, mirrored Catherine's larger journey of pressing forward through uncertainty. An intruder's violent attack in the college shower shattered Catherine's sense of safety. Her instinctive defense revealed a survival instinct beyond conscious thought. The police response proved almost as distressing, with questions about locks and clothing, subtly shifting blame to the victim rather than the perpetrator. British social expectations complicated her healing. That same evening, she found herself maintaining intellectual conversation with poet laureate Cecil Day Lewis while internally processing trauma. The assault accelerated Catherine's questioning of identity and belonging. Oxford's dreaming spires, once symbols of intellectual freedom, now cast shadows of uncertainty. Returning to America in late 1969, she faced a nation transformed by unrest. Her teaching commitment in Cleveland presented new challenges. Disengaged students in a tense, disorganized environment contrasted sharply with Oxford's structure. Her breakthrough came through Of Mice and Men. Catherine's animated teaching style finally connected with students, particularly when Lenny's vulnerability resonated with a previously silent student, revealing education's transformative power. After completing her student teaching, Catherine's path shifted when her paper on Coleridge caught Professor Coburn's attention at the University of Toronto, offering a scholarship and fresh start in a new country. Her high school friend Rick James provided entry to Toronto's Yorkville scene, promising the anonymity she craved after Oxford and Cleveland. Catherine found home in the Annex neighborhood, sharing a house with French-Canadian students during a period of political tension marked by the FLQ crisis. At Rockdale College, her friendship with Ginger, who ran the local drug trade with surprising professionalism, defied easy categorization. Their relationship, though initially built on Ginger's strategic need for legitimacy, evolved into something more nuanced, balanced between pragmatic alliance and genuine connection. The sophisticated warning system at Rockdale revealed an alternative community adapting to constant police surveillance. After completing her MA, Catherine faced a choice between pursuing a PhD or exploring new directions. Academia's insular nature reminded her uncomfortably of Rochdale's closed ecosystem, both environments tending towards self-contained isolation. A film festival celebrating German Expressionism's influence on John Ford's work led to meeting two Canadians, Michael and Carl. Their shared love of cinema sparked connection, though Catherine's animated discussions contrasted with their reserved Canadian manner. Films are conversations between cultures across time, Michael observed, echoing Catherine's view of life as a dialogue between past and present. Dancing with him at a farewell celebration revealed their natural compatibility, not through dramatic declaration, but through quiet synchronicity. Their relationship evolved organically through shared Sundays, simple meals, and building a life together. Moving in together in Toronto challenged societal norms, choosing partnership over convention. Their eventual marriage emerged from mutual understanding rather than external pressure, celebrated with a straightforward ceremony that reflected their authentic values. The tranquil aftermath of a snowstorm framed Catherine's final realization. Surrounded by pristine white landscape, she reflected on how her relationship with Michael differed from past affections. This moment marked her arrival at a safe harbor, found not in place, but in unconditional love. Catherine had sought belonging while preserving independence, seemingly contradictory desires that found harmony with Michael. Their partnership offered both acceptance and autonomy, creating space for individual growth within shared commitment. Her journey across three countries revealed how identity evolves through experiences and relationships. Oxford challenged her intellect, Cleveland tested her idealism, and Toronto provided space to integrate these lessons. Coming ashore proved not an ending, but a beginning, a base camp for future explorations. Her resilience through cultural shifts, trauma, and loss showed that the most vital journey is internal, maintaining authenticity while adapting to change. The snow-covered morning symbolized continuation, a fresh page for the next chapter, grounded in hard-won wisdom and courage.